Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
In my travels of exploration and discovery of various towns, cities, and villages around America, it seems like every place has something that's enchanting, something that's tempting, that are engaging and fascinating. But I think the acid test of a place is asking yourself the question, yes, but would you move there? And I must say that my visit to Grand Island, Nebraska was a winner on all counts. And it is a place, when I think about it, I'd be happy to live there. And the reasons are primarily the people, but secondly, and it's personal, the early 20th century architecture of downtown is extraordinary. Come along and join me in Grand Island, Nebraska, as we visit with Brad Melema, the director of the Grand Island Hall County Visitors Bureau, as Brad talks about cool things to do and see in and around Grand Island. And we'll make a couple stops along the way. We'll visit the Mennonite Heritage Village in nearby Henderson, Nebraska, for a conversation with two Mennonites, Sharon Ratliff and Adeline Huber, who share their passion for the Mennonites Living History Center. And then for a memorable taste of Grand Island cuisine, we'll stop in and visit with Chef Brent Lindner, the owner of the Sin City Grill right in the heart of downtown Grand Island. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a journey of discovery.
My name is Brad Melema, and I'm director of the Grand Island Hall County Convention and Visitors Bureau.
What a pleasure to come to Grand Island.
It's exciting for me to be here, but it's more exciting for me to be here with someone that hasn't been here and experienced it for the first time.
We talked about earlier people's expectations or their presumptions about what they're going to find versus what they do find when they come here.
Many times I'll hear from people that they don't even have an opinion of Nebraska or Grand Island. They just don't think about it. We're maybe off the radar screen for a lot of people. But when you begin to think about it and you see what we have to offer and you make your trip here, whether it's the backdrop of the Sandhill Crane migration, the world-class phenomena that happens here that you can experience, the sights and sounds of that certainly are unexpected. And what a pleasure it is to have visitors from all 50 states, and we've counted over 40 different countries most every year that travel here.
That's interesting, because when you think of Grand Island, you think of an urban center, and yet one of the draws, obviously, I learned firsthand, is outside of town in the country.
It is. Our name is Grand Island. That's an island in the Platte River. So the Platte River is the south border of our city, and that river holds representations of what it used to be like. And in the spring, when the cranes come through, it certainly represents that. The cranes are big and loud and animated.
It's hard to visualize. How many did we see? Some insane number of cranes parked side by side for miles.
They are. It's big and it's loud, and it kind of hits you right in the chest. One crane can be heard a mile away. You put 10,000 on a roost, it's football stadium loud. It's surround sound, it's high definition, it's a great experience. You don't have to be a bird watcher or lover per se, but perhaps someone that appreciates nature for what it is going to enjoy the Sandhill Crane experience.
Yeah, no, I like birds, but I'm not a birder. And I was so excited to come do this, and it exceeded my expectations. It really did.
People come with different things in mind, and I think people take different things away from it. Some of them see it, and they do it, and it's great, and they move on. Mm-hmm. Others have almost a spiritual connection with the cranes.
They're such an elegant bird.
They are an elegant bird. Their flight, their mannerisms. And then when they're here, it's multi-generational. You'll have as many as three or four generations of birds out on that sandbar. It's kind of a family reunion, a returning of friends. And I do know a lot of people like to come back year after year. They got to have their fix, their craniacs. They got to get back to Nebraska and get their fill.
So this is an annual migration that starts where?
Birds winter in Texas, Mexico, New Mexico, Arizona. So if you think about that as the bottom portion of the sandhill crane wintering grounds. And then they come up, if you visualize an hourglass shape, the pinch of that hourglass is right here in Nebraska. And they come here and they have food, they have water, they have shelter, they have everything they need for this point in their life cycle. And so they put on that Nebraska corn and make them nice and fat. They need those reserves as they fly north.
And how long do they hang out here before they move on?
It's about 2 to 4 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, somewhere in that neighborhood. Still hard winter up north, and that's going to help them survive when they finally get up there.
And where do they wind up? Where do they go to?
The top part of the hourglass would be things like Hudson's Bay, Canada, across the boreal forest into Alaska and even into Siberia. Our longest travel birds go up to 5,000 miles just to lay two eggs.
Okay, return trip, do they fly right over you?
They fly right through. They do come through, and it'll be a nice warm November day. You're out, and you'll look up, and you'll hear them, and they're trying to get back to Texas as quick as they can. Sometimes they'll spend a night or two in Nebraska, but their objective is to get to those wintering grounds.
I could see easily, and I would recommend, somebody coming to Nebraska and coming to the Grand Island region to just see the cranes. But you're going to come this far, you're going to want to do other things, which we did. So give us your list of your pecking order of not-to-be-missed things to do in and around Grand Island.
On the birding side, the trifecta would be cranes in the morning, cranes at night. There are prairie chickens in a very short drive of our area here, maybe to the north or to the west of here, sharp-tailed grouse. And so if you can do one of those things, it's great. Perhaps you come as a couple, and one is into maybe the birds, the other might be into history, or they might be, which we are rich with history, the Oregon Trail and the Mormon Trail come right through here. We've got great food establishments. There's arts in the area, all of which are worthy of exploring and taking a look and learning about.
In all of your museums and history centers that I have visited, they are not static warehouses, repositories of material. They are very hands-on.
They are. There is an active arts community in Nebraska, and there's a devoted group of people that keep the arts alive here, and it's really exciting to see. And a lot of them work at the local level, but a lot are getting national attention for their work as well. And so things like Prairie Winds Art Gallery in town, the Stuhr Museum with their newly remodeled Stuhr Building, fabulous place and collection for antiquities and for the arts.
And then the Mennonite, the living history place, that's really cool.
Yeah, the Living History Museum over there has done so very well. It's got that Mennonite German background to it, and they've recreated a place where you can experience that lifestyle right near Henderson, Nebraska.
Come, join us in singing the praises of Zion, the praises of Zion.
My name is Suzanne Ratzliff. We are at the Henderson Mennonite Heritage Museum in Henderson, Nebraska.
So how did the Mennonites get here, and when did they start coming?
The first group of Mennonites came in 1874, and the last group from Russia was 1878, which was when my husband's grandparents arrived.
We had traveled from Russia about 3 months, and we were anxious to find a place called home. We traveled by rail most of the way, and we got to Lincoln. The immigrant house was not finished, and during that time, our people purchased livestock, horses, cows, oxen, wagons, heating stoves, cooking stoves, not much furniture because they would build them, and many times they utilized boxes to sit on. About 200 people slept in this building until they had some temporary home built. Most of them had a little soddy that they could move into.
We have a restaurant in town that every Thursday, their noon special is a traditional Mennonite meal, which is a fun thing. And we have places that you can visit here. Our park, I'd say from Memorial Day to Labor Day, that's when we're open.
I am Adeline Hubert, and I was born and raised in Henderson. We've always lived in this community.
Your ancestors came here.
Actually, my great-grandparents were the ones who donated the land where this Heritage Park is being built on.
So you have connection.
Oh, I have a lot of connection, yeah. It would be my mother's side of the family who, I feel is so much a part of this park because they were here. And if we go into the house, and I'm not sure we are, there's a picture of my great-grandparents.
So Henderson, Nebraska remains a viable, functional Mennonite community, even though there are other people.
Right. Yeah, and this is part of the Heritage Park, preserving that Mennonite ethnicity. And so we were, you know, kind of encouraged to do this in order to direct tourism to our community.
It seems to me that one of the delineations of the Mennonites is deeds and actions versus talk.
That's right, you're right. We believe that anyone who is in need needs our help.
And tell us about how you respond to that. You have a whole social services network, don't you?
Well, the fact that we have the Mennonite Central Committee and the Mennonite Disaster Service organizations, it's very easy to just, you know, hook up with them and go where they have opportunities for us to serve.
And this is ongoing all the time.
You know, after all the hurricanes and tornadoes, there is just building going on all over the United States, not only in Pilger, Nebraska.
I heard you talking earlier, restoring tornado damaged homes.
Yes, we are in the process right now of building about 5 homes in Pilger, and they are people who didn't have insurance money or were elderly and couldn't afford it. They get some grant money through FEMA. We, as an organization, pay for the rest of the materials in that house.
In labor.
In labor.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
When I moved here in 1974 and began teaching, I would say 95% of my students were Mennonite and connected to the community. Since then, our school district has consolidated, and we have a lot more people moving in. So it's a wide range of people. We do have a Henderson Heritage Park website. My name is Suzanne Ratzliff.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
And then what's the one, they have the sod house and all the cool historic things.
The Stir Museum has a lot of those types of things, and I'm not sure which other place you might have seen that, but there's actually sod houses in a lot of the small towns around here. Of course, the first settlers used what they could to create their homes, and there's nothing like going into one of those sod house type settings or one of the historic settings, looking at the railroad and those other things that really carved out the identity of our area. It's certainly all present here.
Okay, give us some more things to do and see.
I think in Grand Island, something to certainly do and see is the Nebraska State Fair. That is a game changer for our community. It's about our 6th year at this point in the community, and the facilities out there are second to none. So that's late August and September. The rest of the year, those facilities are teeming with activity. There's concerts, there's events, there's trade shows, there's things like that going on. So you always want to be looking at what's going on in the Fauner Park region. Again, I think 4th Street here in town is full of ethnic eateries. We've got Cuban, we've got Mexican, we've got Thai, we've got African. We've just got an unexpected variety of foods and flavors that a person can certainly experience while they're here.
And I think, believe it or not, one of the reasons I come to Nebraska is the beef. And I come, believe it or not, for that kind of traditional fare, to retaste that. But what I've discovered in recent years is that time and again, even out in western Nebraska, there's a chef from Napa Valley across the state, Lincoln, wherever, they're doing cutting-edge, trend-setting, organic, healthy fare that you don't expect to find in Nebraska.
We are the beef state, absolutely, at our core. We are an agricultural town. Grand Island is built on agricultural businesses. We're a manufacturing town. We produce combines here through Case and New Holland. Beef is at the core of what we do. We always will be, but absolutely, it's a changing and dynamic landscape in Nebraska, and there's lots of fun places to explore.
Right here in town, Sin City we just went to.
Sin City Grill, owned by Brent Linder. He owns a couple of different things, Wave Pizza, right here in downtown Grand Island.
My name is Brent Conrad Linder. Welcome to Grand Island, Nebraska and Sin City Grill.
Brent, what a surprise to meet you. What a pleasure. And one of the reasons why is that stereotype of the Midwest fair of you don't expect to find people that are super evolved, cutting edge like they are in L.A. or New York in the middle of the heartland, but yet you guys are here and growing.
That's an incredible compliment, and that's one of our biggest compliments is, like, we can't believe this is here in Grand Island, Nebraska.
What do you think when you come in to a Midwestern town? Steaks, fried?
Meat and potatoes, yeah. Everything fried, and we're not like reinventing the wheel here. I mean, we're following some trends and stuff, but we're in a market like a lot of sub-75,000 markets inundated with all the chain restaurants and stuff. And you need local stuff, someone that's going a little above and beyond. And we try to do everything homemade at our pizza place, making our own crusts and sauces, cutting our own cheeses and meats. Same thing with our burger place, you know, all fresh breads, cutting our own fries, chips, things like that.
And I think more important than that whole homemade character, the essential ingredient today for all of us is the sourcing of the food and knowing its provenance, knowing how it was.
And this is over the last 2 to 3 years, that you all know, our food source as a whole, there's big question marks on the validity of where it's coming from, how it's made, what's involved in it, and what was a kind of a no-brainer situation. So it's nice dealing with some local people.
So you know your farmers, and you come out and see where they're growing?
Yes. The best example is Garcia Farms in Wood River. Great family. The cows are out running in the pasture, and they're saving thousands of dollars. They don't know antibiotics, hormones, and stuff, and just good quality products that you can really taste. I mean, a great way to hang our hat that you've got good beef, and people do appreciate that, and it's a battle cry now, a matter of life and death.
And that's really what it's about, is we're trying to feed ourselves in a way that will keep us alive and healthy.
And to be able to provide that for your consumer is just, I can sleep at night.
Why do people come here? What do they love to eat? Do you have a signature dish or signature dishes that are associated with you?
Well, we hang our hat on our beef. I mean, the gourmet burgers. Everyone's been to the chain restaurants and the different places, and we got a little flash here, and it's nice, but, you know, after you've been here 2 or 3 times, the slot machines and the memorabilia and all that stuff is kind of irrelevant. It provides a little bit of environment, but what brings you back? It's the food, the quality of the food. You spend a little bit more. It doesn't cost a lot more to go first class. It really doesn't, and enjoy it. And it's what you're putting in your body.
Let's talk a little bit more about some of your signature dishes. You mentioned pizzas. Is that big time here?
Yes, at the Wave Pizza Company. Probably our best seller is an all-meat pizza. Lots of sausage, and it's got 7 meats, called the Bell's Beach. We do a chicken Alfredo pizza with oven-roasted chicken breast and free-range chickens, a homemade Alfredo sauce. Like I said, we cut all our own cheeses and stuff.
And you're right downtown in the heart of Grand Island.
Right in historic downtown Grand Island, which used to be called Sin City also. So
you're kidding. I was going to ask you the derivation of Sin City.
My partner and I always liked Las Vegas, so we always enjoyed the old school Las Vegas, late 50s, 60s, when you dressed up to go out and stuff, to eat and gamble and stuff. But, yeah, back in the 40s and 50s when the troop trains came through here, there was a lot of sin here in Grand Island and stuff with brothels. And
so we got that nickname.
It did. So it's kind of got a double meaning, and, you know, a celebration of Sin City in Las Vegas, but also Sin City was Grand Island, too. A lot of history of some shady characters. So we're proud to be local, use local people, produce, meats. And just nice to bring something different to a lot of good people here that come through.
Brent Lindner, Sin City, Grand Island, Nebraska. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
I know that there's more things coming online all the time. We just heard an announcement about a new Irish pub that's going to be opening downtown. We're very excited about that. Another thing right downtown that I think is worthy of people's time is the Grand Theater. 1934, it's completely restored, over $1 million investment in that. The lights, the sound, the cinema, and they play first-run movies, and it's very affordable. You can bring your entire family and get popcorn for $10, $15.
Wow.
So it's really a fabulous experience in the Grand Theater in downtown Grand Island.
One of the pleasant surprises for me was the architecture of downtown Grand Island. I love architecture, and I love early 20th century, the brick buildings. And you know that there was a previous incarnated heyday in this town just by looking at the buildings. They're beautiful. 1910, 1920.
Downtown Grand Island is the result of the railroad coming through here. In fact, the angles of north and south weren't thought of until the town began to grow and was reoriented. So our downtown follows parallel the tracks at an angle through here. And you go back to that late 1800s, early 1900s, and you began to see the architecture spring up as Grand Island began to come into its own. The north side of the tracks had the horse and mule market. So back in the World War I era, that's what drove a lot of the economy of this area, and it provided horses to the whole European theater, those kinds of things. And then as you cross downtown, you began to look at the high-rise structures come into their own. The Masonic Temple, which is about a six-story building, it's being refurbished and repurposed now with some upscale living areas. And so you're starting to see the architecture be repurposed now into living areas, business areas, and it's got good bones in downtown Grand Island.
That's when you look at them, these are solid structures.
They are, and I'd also be remiss if I didn't bring up the Edward Durrell Stone building at Sturm Museum. It's having a $7 million renovation. It is a prairie architecture from the 1960s. Really an outstanding, Durrell Stone was an architect of note, the Kennedy Center and some of those types of structures.
It reminds you of that, doesn't it?
It does. It has that look. And the restoration is bringing it back to its original look. It's going to be fabulous, and we're really excited to have that be refurbished like that.
Let's talk a little more about Sturm.
Yeah, Sturm Museum is an absolute gem of the prairie. It is a living history museum run by Hall County. It's got art and antiquities. It's got actual recreations of Railroad Town with interpreters that create an experience that pull you back into the 1890s and gets you to think about what it actually, the sights, the sounds, the smells of what that is. And it is an attraction that has been around and a stalwart member of the community. And it's really a must-see attraction when you're here in Nebraska.
A little taste of Williamsburg and that. It's like going into a whole little town, a time warp, twilight zone town.
It is, and it's a functioning property. It's a large property. You know, you could easily spend a half day to a day there exploring those things, whether it's the live animal exhibits that they'll have there or the working churches or the working houses. And there's just constantly activities and family activities there. It is something for the entire family.
Well, this remains around Grand Island a real livestock headquarters in addition to corn and soy.
Yeah, to those ag roots, the Nebraska State Fair on Fauner Park campus built world-class livestock show facilities. And Grand Island is now playing host to junior national shows. It is what is going to be our identifier for this community going forward. When I say world-class, we're talking one of the largest big-screen televisions inside the show arena, 2,000-person capacity. Can handle easily over 2,500 head in a show, and it's something that in the livestock industry, we're absolutely gaining a huge identity with those facilities, and there's something that we're looking forward to marketing and getting out there. And they're just plain fun to go to during the state fair. I mean, that's the place where you're going to see those live animals, and maybe that city kid can get a little flavor of that country kid's lifestyle.
And I bet 4-H is king here.
4-H is king, and not only does 4-H come out here, we have the National 4-H Shooting Sports Competition here. We have one of the finest shooting parks in the country in the Heartland Public Shooting Park. That brings almost 800 young people plus their families to Grand Island for a week. So the 4-H kids, when they come here and they're in the hotels love them. They are not a problem. They're very respectful, and it is an honor and a joy to host those events here in Grand Island. Fauner Park at its roots is a thoroughbred horse racing institution since the 1950s. We have had live thoroughbred horse racing here in Grand Island, and the meet goes from February on through into May. They run on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and it's an institution. Even if you're not a gambler, or if you are a gambler, you go out there, the pageantry and the color, it's a lot of fun to make a day out at the races. A little Kentucky Derby, and on Kentucky Derby Day, you go out there and you will find the hats and the celebration. And we've got some large Gus Fauner race that brings in some of the bigger money and the names, and it's certainly a thing that's a draw for our community, and we're glad and proud to have it as part of what we do here.
Pretty incredible. I never would guess this little farming and ranching enclave in the heart of the heartland of Nebraska would just be so dynamic with such a diversity of things. It seems like there's something going on every weekend throughout the whole year.
There are, and connected to Fauner Park is the Heartland Event Center. It's a 6,000-seat auditorium. We have an indoor football arena league called the Nebraska Danger. Fabulous family activity. They're engaging. They work with the kids. It's a very entertaining venue. And Nebraska Danger plays all through the spring, and they're on a win streak right now.
Nice.
Those seats are filling up, and so that's an exciting thing to do when you come to the area up through early June.
Lincoln has roller derby and roller skating big time. Does that happen out here?
It does. We have the Platte Valley Roller Vixens. And roller derby is getting, and those gals have a great time. They've got their act and their shtick that they do with it, and they have their names, their stage names. And so the Platte Valley Roller Vixens absolutely are a fun thing to do, and you can find that here in Grand Island.
That's so cool. Brad, we're about out of time, but this has been really great, and I truly cannot wait to come back and explore some more.
Well, it has been an honor and a delight to host you in Grand Island and in Nebraska, and we hope that you sampled a little bit of our hospitality. We think our people are our strongest asset, and no matter where you go, we're proud and honored to have our guests here, whether it's the food, whether it's the Sandhill Cranes, it might be the art, the architecture, or the thoroughbred horse racing or the ag background that brings you here. And we hope that when you're here, you'll come and spend a few days and learn a little bit about what's going on here.
Regretfully, I'm leaving tomorrow. Truly, I can hardly wait to come back. And you hit it on the head. Bottom line, it's the people.
Well, thank you very much.
We've been speaking with Brad Melama. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Grand Island, Nebraska.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort Maui at Wailea invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning, and Lauren Hayes is our technical assistant.